Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat the scran, do it, Marcos. On this episode, we are joined by midfielder Andy McCarthy, who chats about playing for Partick Thistle in the Premier League, his issues with gambling and his new contract with Peterhead.
Right, this week we've got Andy McCarthy. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I had too bad. How's the lockdown been for you? How's the last 3-4 months been?
Alright for me. Been made quite busy by Hoggy. More important, probably him. He's made me busy in the last 4 months. So that's been good for me, just for the way kind of, well, no, it's probably been, it's not great, but it's probably needed a wee break and just to try and get fit properly and focus on getting fit. And I think it's been good for me really, because just been out working hard every day.
And after now that we've got sort of a starting date, we've got the fixtures, does that mean you're kind of itching to get started again?
Yeah, I've been itching to get started for about a month, I think. A month or two. You miss it straight away when you're away for it as well, especially because I was injured, so it's even harder. You miss it even more, you're just starting to get back, yeah, so let you know there's a date confirmed now, because it was all kind of, nobody was sure what was happening, and it was right up to the last minute. So, yeah, dates kind of made things more concrete. So, yeah, it's good.
And any word of a pre-season starting?
I think it will be 1st of September, I'm sure. I don't know what will happen. I think that's when the kind of furlough thing stops as well, so I don't think you're allowed to actually go back until the 1st of September officially. So, I think that's the official kind of thing, is the 1st of September.
And given that what we've seen and what's been happening in Aberdeen in the last sort of couple of days, is there any sort of trepidation that you might need to get started, or is everybody sort of in agreement that we're going to start at the beginning of October?
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of that agreement that we're going to start. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen, but hopefully that is what happens, and I think that's what everyone wants now, just wants to get started and get going, especially now the Premier League back. Makes you more excited to get going as well, watching them play. So, yeah, I think we're all kind of in agreement and we want to just get back, but you do never know what will happen, really, but just got to hope.
And we're hopeful that there's going to be fans in the stadium as well, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. Watching these games without fans is quite hard. Some of the games have been alright, but a lot of it, everyone says the same thing. A lot of it is right, training games. It's like you would do a training, stay in shape and stuff like that. It's like watching that, but yeah, you love fans to be back. That's kind of what makes football, and it's what you as a player want to go out and run out to fans. You don't. It's hard running out empty stadiums, but yeah, hopefully fans will be back.
So we'll get on to your new contract and that just in a wee bit, but we'll speak about you yourself then. So you started at Partick Thistle in the youth setup there.
Yeah, I started there after when I was about, I think it was maybe 13, 14, went there. Ended up there for a bit. I ended up leaving and going back and playing my boys' club when I was 16. Or maybe, maybe earlier than that, 15, 16, ended up going back and playing my boys' club, and that was all my mates, just because I wanted to get back and join playing football again. I didn't think it was very good. That was a problem, either, at that age. I was 15, 16. So I ended up leaving, and then I think it was Jerry Britton who phoned me to come back, and then I think it was like 2 or 3 months later I ended up playing in the first team, as I'm training with the first team and that, so it was quite mental a wee bit, but yeah, I was all there kind of growing up. It was always at Thistle and kind of Ross at Mabbott as well. That was kind of back and forth through them, so yeah, it was always just kind of about playing and enjoying it as well for me. So that kind of why I went back, and then the way it worked out, funny enough, I ended up going back to Thistle at 16. So yeah, it was Thistle since I was about 13, wee break, then back.
So did that wee break give you a wee bit of confidence then? Because you said that you didn't think you were that great, but obviously you played in the Premier League, so you must have been half decent.
I know, I didn't. I get that age, I don't know. I think it's growing. Some days you wake up, your touch isn't great. I still get that minute, to be fair. Some days you wake up, your touch isn't great and that. And I think that was that. And I just went back and played my mates and just got my confidence back. I enjoyed football. And then I think by the time I got back to Thistle, a lot of the coaches had changed at Thistle. So it was a lot kind of more professionally kind of set up, and I think a few of the coaches they've obviously seen a player in me. I think I was playing like white left wing and like striker and that when I was a bit younger, and then I ended up, they just moved me back to centre mid, and it kind of just worked out for them. I think I just grew in confidence when I was away for it a wee bit with my mates, and so I think it was just a big part of mine was just enjoying football again, and that's kind of how I end up playing and getting confidence back for enjoying it with my mates.
Did you always want to be involved in football? You said you left the game for a wee bit there and then went back. Did you think about doing something else, or was I always forgot about football for you?
It was always about playing football for me. I don't know, even leaving as well. I think that even made me want to play more as well, because I think it was just to simply get the enjoyment back of playing with my mates, because I think I stopped enjoying it and I was playing positions that... And I don't think I was playing much either, actually, at 14 or 15. I wasn't playing too much for the youth teams, and I thought, I don't want to be going and not playing. It's about... That's not what you're in football for. You're in to play as well, so... Especially at that age, I think that's the special that you need to be playing as well when you're a young boy. So that's why I went back. But I've always wanted to play football, always wanted to play football every day. It's always been the same for me. So yeah, never anything else, really, to be honest.
I guess at any age, as a footballer, you want to play. No matter if you're 14, 15, or you're 26, 27, you just want to play all the time, really.
That's spot on, isn't it? It's still, no matter who you are, you just want to be playing games and enjoying it. And doing what you enjoy, which is playing football for probably most people, as their sport is football, and that's what they love doing, playing football. So, yeah, I'm the exact same that way, but I've never ever thought of being anything else other than play football, to be honest. So, nah.
You got your debut at 18, is that right, against Fulmartin?
That was in January. I think that was in January. I made my debut for the first time, I went in 3-4-0, so that was decent to put me on there. And then the second game started me at Celtic Park, so that was a wee bit harder than them, to be honest.
Was it the Fulmartin game, was it one of that kind of games that it was easy enough to put you in because it was against a lower kind of standard, if you like?
Yeah, it was probably easy to put me in then, because I think we were maybe 3 or 4 up, and they were a bit tired, they weren't really pressing the ball, so probably made me look better when I came on and got in the ball. And that, so yeah, no, it was probably a less pressure game for me to put me in at that age, and there was still maybe, I was just 18 then, so yeah, it was probably easier to just play me in a game like that and bed me in a wee bit. Mm-hmm.
And then played the 5 post-split games after that as well. Was that kind of geared to playing you for the next season, do you think?
I think so. I think in training as well, I think I trained well, and I was always quite bad as well. If I was getting left in the stand, I was always moaning a bit, and I think you know that as well. But but I always thought, the manager, it was Archibald at the time, he really liked us, and so did his assistant, so that worked in my favour, and they kind of pushed me a bit to work hard, and every day I was training, I think I was training well as well, I think all the boys said that as well, I was doing well, so no, I think it was always geared to playing me the next season as well, and I think the first game they played me was Celtic away, and that was we drew 1-1, so it couldn't have really got harder than that after that, so I think that's what I kind of all geared me to that season, yeah.
But for a young man, that you said you played Celtic away there, was that an occasion that you embraced, or was you quite nervous going into it? Because also the Fulmartin game away to Celtic, completely different sort of games.
I don't know why I think I was probably more nervous about the Fulmartin one, because it was the first time I ever played. But then I don't know why, I think just that time at Celtic, I don't remember being that nervous. I can remember being a wee bit nervous before it, but that, I think it was alright that game actually, to be honest, which is a weird thing saying that, but I think you just embrace it, especially when you're young as well. You're just going out to play and enjoy it. Really, again, you're just going to enjoy it and play and try to do well, and that was it. And it wasn't. I was really nervous of that, but that also helped when all the boys I had at the first team as well. It was boys that, I always remember Gary Fraser speaking to me before that game. It's just saying that I was good enough to go and play well. I always remember, he was always brilliant with me when I was there. So, stuff like that. It was a lot of older boys as well that were good with me, especially when I was coming through there. Would kind of help me through the games as well, so I knew I had good people around me to help me, even if I did make a mistake, so that was always a good thing about it as well.
So maybe were that kind of occasions where the expectations were, nobody really had any expectations of you, so you could probably just relax and just enjoy the occasion.
Yeah, I think that was exactly that. It was nearly like, nobody expects you to go to Celtic Park and get a result or go and dominate the ball or that. You're not really on the ball, you're not really expected to dominate, so it's probably like a no pressure game, it's like a free hit, that's what I always remember them saying, it's like a free hit games like that. You can go and you can try, you can do things, you can play. If you get a result, it's a bonus. It is a bonus at the end of the day if you get a result in there. A1s, and that's probably the way I looked at it as well. I was just going to embrace it and play and see what I could do against top players, obviously.
But you went to Tynecastle as well, which is a bit of a cold one to play in as well. After the Celtic game on, after the Hearts game, your manager praised you, and by the looks of it, had quite high expectations of you.
Yeah, I think that Tynecastle game was probably one of my better games. I love playing there as well. It was a small patch, it was tight. I think the fans were in it. I actually broke my nose after, I think it was like 25 minutes in that game. We got absolutely abused at the side after Hearts fans. So, nah, I think I loved playing there. I done well that game. And you always kind of, I don't think it was till lunchtime I was even playing in that game, to be fair. So I didn't really know. So there wasn't any, even that, I didn't feel pressure going on that. But just because it was a small pitch, it was tight, it was good. And I always remember just playing well. I think we got a man sent off for 20 minutes to go. And I remember just being knackered, to be honest, that game. But, no, they were all great tests as well. And I think, yeah, especially if a manager does like you, he takes a chance on you and playing you and risks you. And that, you feel that confidence when you're going into playing games like that as well. And it's when the manager has confidence, and all, you know yourself as well, all the boys had confidence as well in the team on me going in and doing well. So, yeah, it was kind of big for me.
I think going into the next season, unfortunately, part of Crystal got relegated, but you still yourself played 20-plus games. So,
yeah.
Apart from the relegation, how did you kind of assess that season for yourself personally?
Personally, it was a good season, but obviously the beginning and end always getting relegated, which was a shame. But for me personally, I did play a lot of games and I done quite well in most of the games. To be honest, I think more than the end of the season, I was playing every week and doing well. And I think that they all trust in me to play. I think that's a big thing as well. The manager had trust in me to go and play well. And it's obviously horrible when it's just kind of, you're not doing well, you're not winning every week, but it probably brought me more into what it means to be a football player. As in men's football, we need to win. It wasn't, these were people's jobs as well on the line. Obviously, it didn't. At the end, we got relegated, but it was gutting when you see people's reactions. But like, you know, you learn so much with stuff like that, no? Playing in the games and seeing that you need to win, you can't go, it's like desperation times, especially in that kind of level when it's relegation, and it was a lot of pressure. Like even I was feeling a bit of pressure, but I enjoyed it as well back then because I was young and I was the young one in the team and everyone kind of looked after me. But there was times that I done well and there was times that I didn't do well in that season as well, but he stuck by me and played me, which was always good because that's probably a big thing as a young player. You need to kind of run a 3 or 4 games to actually establish yourself a wee bit and get that confidence.
It would have been easy for the manager to kind of maybe drop you and play maybe more experienced players or bring in more experienced players, but as you said, he had the confidence in you, so that must have given you the confidence as well.
Yeah, I think that my dad gave me a lot of confidence because I think it was a captain as well. It was at the time I played for him as well a lot since Abs. Abdul Osman, he still says to me, does he know how I played there? I'm not, still winds me up, but even that shows that he was taking him out of the team to play me. Well, he was probably the easy option to play him, but he was still playing me, so obviously that gave me confidence. But I think a lot of it was like, I deserved to probably be in the team as well at the time because I was playing well every week and playing decent enough every week to stay in the team. So yeah, nah, it was the good thing that he kind of kept me in over older boys. It is easier for managers probably to bring experienced boys in that have been there and done it, but at the time, I was doing well, so there was no reason to take me out of the team. So, yeah, it was obviously good they trusted them then.
How much of an influence was Archibald on your career then?
At that time, he was probably the best, as in him and it was the Scotty Patterson assistant and all. They were both brilliant with us, as in a lot of boys you kind of get away with doing probably some things I said to him or done, and he took it and they laughed. But I think they liked us as a boy. There was a few years that I had two of my close mates. One's the boy Lamont at Clyde, and one Neil McLaughlin's playing with Edu. We used to stay behind every day and play two touch. And Scotty Parson, he stayed behind every day and played two touch with us for hours, which just showed they liked us as people as well as players, which helped me as well. So I could speak to them about things that maybe other boys wouldn't, and that kind of helped me as well. So that kind of, like, just showing them who I was and even playing as well. They trusted me in kind of all kind of aspects of it, so it was good.
It sounds like his man management was top-notch then.
Yeah, his man management was brilliant. I know he's back there as assistant, so we'll be playing them next season, which will be good. Be good.
Looking forward to that. So, unfortunately, with relegation, he kind of lost his job. Gary Coldwell came in. And then you kind of found your time in the first team limited, shall we say?
I don't know. When he came in, I was struggling with injuries as well, but that's not an excuse. So he didn't really, I don't think he really fancied me as a player, which is, it's his opinion, fair enough. I think I had a few meetings with him saying that I thought I should have maybe been given a chance, not even to play. I didn't ever say it like that, not in a bad way to him. And I don't think he liked that part of it as well, but like it's manager's opinion at the end of the day. Archibald liked me, he didn't, and that was it. I think it was kind of, he played me as well, I think it was the December. He played me one game actually, and I think I got man of the match, and then it was in January he brought in five players, and I didn't play again after that. So that was kind of a bit of a hard luck, but I probably could have done more to work harder as well when he was there, which is a wee bit that I'm honest about. But I was playing kind of mental positions as well. I think he had me playing left back sometimes, so I always remember that. But no, he just didn't kind of take to me as a player, but that's football for you, really.
You feel it was a catch-22 sort of situation. You said he played you at a position that you felt you could have done better, but if you got the impression he didn't really fancy you as a player, it's sort of like a catch-22 situation for the position that you were in.
Kind of as well. He's brought in a lot of experience, senior boys, and I think he was trying to go kind of down that route just to, I don't know if we were struggling. I think we must have been struggling in the league, so maybe he went kind of other way of bringing in experienced boys to kind of help him in the league, and he obviously just didn't see me party, and I think he was playing left back. I think he brought me on one game at Morton. We were getting beat 2-1, and put me on left back at half time, we got beat 5-1, so I don't think I played for a wee while after that. I thought I should have got more of a chance, but I didn't, and that was the way it was. But then there's some things I could have probably worked harder as well. But he obviously didn't fancy me, and that's just football for you.
Did you find his management style was totally different for Archibald's?
Yeah, I think probably Archibald, and I think it was his assistant Scotty Pia, because I got on with them as well as people, and I knew they liked me as well. I could speak to them and have a laugh with them, whereas the Codwell wasn't that for me, but the other boys, it would have been like that for him. But it's probably just because they were the ones that gave me a chance as well at that age, you know what I mean? It's different when it's the manager that gives you a choice. You always have respect and time for them as well, but the Codwell, it was a bit different. He wasn't, because I wasn't playing, I don't think he was that kind of, he wouldn't speak to me as much and stuff like that, which annoyed me a wee bit, but people manage differently, and that's just football.
Do you feel Caldwell was approachable? Do you feel you could have spoke to him about things, or did you feel he was quite standoffish?
For me, I can speak to him, but that was just the way it was. I found him very standoffish, but that was, I know it was other boys who felt that way as well. It wasn't just me, which was kind of the thing that I think a lot of people seen as well. So, but I think he probably was quite hard to talk to in a way. It was probably his way or no way when it came to it, but there was times when he was nice to me, and there was times when he was good for me and did try to help me, but it was just he never liked me as a player, and that was it at the end of the day.
So. Do you think he came in with sort of preconceived ideas about you? Because you were the kind of guys that got relegated, so do you think he thought, well, you're only going to be good enough to get back up again?
Yeah, maybe he did, because I think a lot of the team changed, because I think it's only one of my mates, Banzo, that's still kind of there, was there now, and he was still playing. I don't actually think there's any of the team really that I can think of off the top of my head that was still there after he came in, because he brought in a lot of boys, that, I don't know, a lot of boys, but even now you see it's changing again with us, so they're bringing in a lot of different, but I think they're starting to get a wee bit of stability back with McCall there, and they're actually bringing in the right people now, whereas with him, I thought he just changed it all, if you know what I mean, straight away, and it kind of obviously didn't really work at the end of the day, so yeah, but I think that.
Did you ever sort of consider, or did you say to him about going maybe on loan in January just to get yourself
again thing? Yeah, I think I did. I remember asking him to go on loan in January, but I think he just said he might needed me in case somebody got injured or that, which he just obviously frustrates you at the time. But you go okay, and you always believe there's a chance of you getting in the team at the end of the day. I think you've always got to have that kind of belief in yourself, and I always thought that at one point, but then it just never came. And it came, I think. You go so long sometimes, you end up going, oh, you're never going to play, you know what I mean? If it gets to that. So I think you end up getting, I think injury didn't help. I was injured a wee bit as well, which didn't really help, but you end up getting quite frustrated, I think, with things. But yeah, it was a...
Do you get frustrated with football in general, the fact that you sort of like being frozen out? He didn't allow you to go on loan, so they might need you. Do you sort of feel a bit frustrated in general with it?
I think you kind of start to, I think even at that, because I was went for playing in the Premier League every week or whatever, to not even getting a chance. Sometimes I've been on the bench in the Championship, and that's when I went, you end up not enjoying your actual job of going in every day, whereas before, when it was Archibald Scotty, it was, you'd want to go on every day and you stay there till 3-4 o'clock, even when boys are home, because you're playing two touch with my two pals or mucking about, you know what I mean? Whereas that was get in, get home, get away from it, because, and that was never me. I always loved being, I'm always like that, I always loved playing at football as well and love training and kicking the ball about anyway. So that was probably where I kind of started to, like, thinking it's just, it wasn't enjoyable anymore, but it comes part of it because I kind of knew didn't fancy me either as a player, so nah, it was kind of like that. You kind of probably start to fall away from football as a game in general, and playing full time, you think it's not, you want to be, the way I was with Archibald and Scotty, was always happy about the place, and then I think when he wasn't giving me any kind of chance, you kind of start being a wee bit unhappy with things, and that's just what happens really.
I guess the blessing in disguise was the fact that your contract was up at the end of the season. You got a chance to move on. Did you get any other offers before you signed for Queens?
I didn't even know. I had my agent at the time, it was Tom Callan. He was just saying just go into Queens and try it. I didn't even ask him about in-house at all. So I didn't even think about in-house actually, then going full time, then going to Queen of the South, which probably now I wish I could open my eyes and went, is that there? But that's easy to say now. I'm probably still kind of glad I tried it, went and tried it, but. Yeah, I'm kind of, you kind of wish you open your eyes, but it's easy to say now, so I still wish, I'm still quite glad I went and tried it and seen if I kind of wanted to stay full-time, but...
Was that the big attraction then, staying full-time?
Yeah, staying full-time was quite big, I thought, for me as well, but I thought that's probably why that was my main reason going to Queens, was probably to try play every week there and get back and join it again, playing full-time, so yeah, that was kind of it.
You started off reasonably well. I think you played all four games in the League Cup group stage.
Yeah. I think I played every game, I'm sure. I think I played every game in Betfred Cup. And I've started most games, so yeah, it started off well. I was flying at that time. And then, so I was playing every game. I think I went into the first league game too, but I think I wasn't in the team, which frustrated me a wee bit, but that's football. Sometimes you're not in the team. But I know, I think I came off the bench there, but... No, I think that's what happened.
Was that kind of the first maybe red flag that you'd played all the games in the Betfred Cup, and then all of a sudden in the first league game you're not even in the team?
Yeah, I think when you probably played every game of pre-season in the Betfred Cup, I kind of thought I've got a good chance of starting in the league and then end up out of the team, but it was just his kind of choice on the day, obviously, to play a different team, but you do think that you're probably going to play and you're probably a wee bit disappointed at that time, which I think any football player is when they're not playing.
Okay. Alan Johnson was your manager at the time, wasn't he?
Right.
Did he give you any kind of reassurances when you signed that you'd be playing first team, or what was your kind of squad status?
No, I think he was, when I signed, he was saying just to get play every week and get in a team every week, and as long as my performance were good, I would be playing, which is the way to do it in football, really. If you're performances are good, you merit playing every week, and that's a kind of thing as well.
But then you only played five games in the next 5 months, so at what kind of point did you think, I need to get over here, or was that in the back of your mind?
I came on half-time against Ayr, I think that was close to maybe Christmas, I think. I came on half-time, done decent, done alright, and I think we won 3-1, and I think it was a Scottish Cup game. I think we were playing Queen's Park at home, and I played 27 minutes, and I hadn't gave a goal away a lot. I know myself, I wasn't great in the game, but I wasn't horrific either. I was just average, to be honest. I think he took me off after 27 minutes, and I think you know as a player as well at that time when you're getting took off then, there's something no right. No, you know if you gave a goal away or something like that or something ridiculous, but. Like even I think a lot of the boys said I probably didn't deserve that at the time, but that was what he'd done, and I I think I knew then that I was going to maybe get away from there as well.
How did you feel at that moment, that, like, after the game that evening, you'd been taken off after 27 minutes? What was your overall thoughts at that point?
I think you're probably fuming. If you're fuming at the time, I think you just want... For me, I think I just wanted away from it, as in away from Queen. I don't think at that time you just think you want away from it at all, and you're just frustrated. I think that probably time you probably think, when can you go out for a beer straight away after that game? Get away. So thinking about it. So no, that was about that.
Did you go to your manager, or did the manager come to you and suggest that your time was up, or how did it come about?
I just said I knew. I spoke to somebody that knew the manager, actually, at Peterhead, and he was like, I think they'd be quite interested in taking you up, and I just went straight away. I just wanted to go up there and just go and see how it is. And I seen, even for the first time, I heard they were interested. I spoke to the manager, and he was wanting to get me in straight away, and that kind of made a difference for either going on trial or kind of no manager speaking to you about anything, really.
So, yeah. Did you kind of, obviously, Gary Fraser was at Peterhead at the time. You obviously played with him at Park Thistle as well. So did he kind of give you any advice before he came up, or did you speak to him beforehand?
I spoke to him. Well, I had Gaz and I had Dell. Dell was in sometime, came in at Queen's just for a bit of training. And so I had Dell as well. So I spoke to the both of them. Gaz, he just told how much he enjoyed it and how much he was getting back to enjoying his football. And Gaz has always been great for me as well since the early days at Thistle, giving me advice and all that. I think Gaz has probably been through a lot as well with his career as well, and ups and downs, and he's always been great giving me advice, and he was saying how much he's got back enjoying football and back loving it, and how he was just saying how good the setup is, the manager, Hoggie, everyone like that, Davey. So now he was just saying just to come up and get back playing again. So
did you need to be convinced to join, or was it just one of them things you were naturally just one out of Queens and going by what Gary had said anyway, you were quite happy to come up?
No, it was going by Gary and Dell. I didn't even think I needed to really think about it twice. I think as soon as I knew they were kind of the manager, I spoke to the manager as well. As soon as he said, just come up for training, I think it was up maybe that Tuesday or something, whenever, I can't remember when I spoke, and straight away I thought, I like this and I fancy this, just going up here and seeing it, I like it. So, and I did, and enjoyed the training straight away, so it was good.
Gary's kind of that one of that players who's been on the go for a long time, but he's still, in terms of a footballer, relatively young. But he's got a lot of experience, so does he kind of pass on stuff to you as well?
Yeah, Gaz always, he always gives me a bit of advice, especially Gaz, he's always very, very good to us as in raising us as well when he thinks I've done something right, but he can also tell me when I've not done something right as well, which is a good thing about him. And he'll always have a laugh and a joke at the end of the day with me about it. So, which is probably the best thing for me as well. So, Gaz has got a lot of experience, and he's always been quick to pass it on. And obviously, he's getting back fit properly as well. And I'm pretty sure you'll see how good a player Gaz is again.
As a junior signing, I guess it's probably difficult enough trying to, you know, get yourself into a new team and get started. But well, only making 3 appearances, do you think that it was worse this time round with the lockdown and that? Because obviously we haven't seen the best of you yet, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I was kind of got injured quite early, straight away, but I think it was my groin. It was my own fault. I think it was through laziness of continually on for Queens and maybe not doing enough, but I think that's probably where the lockdown's going to help me. I think when I went into, when I was at Peterhead, in January, the first game, I think it was maybe 84 kg, whereas after this lockdown, I think I'm 77, I think, the now, which is a big difference even for me, as in, I was thinking about imagine running with that extra weight on as well, right, I was in January, so even that's where probably the lockdowns kind of came in and helped me a wee bit, as for working hard and getting back, but it was just frustrating getting injured, and coming in at January, you want to go and make a good impression, that's the thing, but that's where the gaffer's probably been brilliant to me, as in he's never rushed me to come back and said, you need to be back. He's always said, get yourself sorted and stuff like that. And that's probably where the manager's made a difference to me, as in being confident and believing in me.
Was the adjustment to part-time football a big difference for you?
I actually found it all right, to be honest with you. Because I was still doing a bit Monday, Wednesday, with a few boys, it was like one-to-one staff coaching and that I knew, So I was still doing quite a lot, so I kind of still, I think I was still running every Monday. It was, Hoggy was telling me to go for a whatever run, half an hour run or whatever, so I was still doing quite a lot. So it wasn't that big for me adjusting, but nah, I quite enjoyed it, to be honest. I enjoyed the bus up with the boys and that, and just talking and getting to training and that.
Your last game was the 1st of February, which is a long time not to be playing, but obviously with the lockdown and things like that. So I guess we're dying to see what Andy McCarthy can actually do, really, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think I am probably too, because I think maybe for the last year I've probably not been fit or not been injured then, but I think I've probably, it's easy to say now, I could go and maybe not do well, but I think I've given myself the best chance of going and doing well now, and instead of being slightly overweight and maybe not being fit, I think now I've probably given, this is probably the season where I've probably maybe the last two, I've not really given myself the best chance of going and doing well. Well, you can still go and maybe not play well, but I could go and be back to myself, which is exactly what I want and is exactly what I've given myself the chance to do this season, I think.
Do you feel personally for you that's a big season, obviously, the Park Thistle and how it ended at Queen's, now you feel a lot fitter. Do you feel is that a really important season for you as a person?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a really important season. I feel a lot fitter than probably about mentally, physically, so that probably makes the biggest difference for me as well. And yeah, it's a big season for me, but I've got to go and stay fit and try to do well. And obviously, anything could happen, touch wood. You could get unlucky, and that's football at the end of the day, and you've got to always remember that too. But as much as I give myself the best chance of going and playing, which is what I've done, I think, over this lockdown, probably more than ever, because I think I'm probably out every day now, running. Well, I'm every day, so that's kind of, before it would be every 2 days or something, or every 3 days, you know what I mean? So that's probably made a difference to me.
Before we go into more of your expectations for next season, I want to get a topic that's maybe slightly difficult subject. Maybe we in local press up here, there was a report that you had some difficulties with the gambling issues for the last 2-3 years. Quite happy to speak about that.
Aye, no problem.
So how did that kind of come about?
That probably just, as in coming out with a gambling, or?
Aye, how did it start? How did your gambling sort of start? Because I guess it's like everybody else, it's different. But how did it sort of progress to it being a problem?
I think it would be just for betting on just rubbish, as in every day after training, just knocking about, having a bet with my mates for school and stuff like that. And it was just kind of, at that time, I was probably 16 or something, 17, and it was probably not that bad at that time because I probably wasn't earning that much and stuff like that, so it wasn't what I would call an addiction at that time. I think it's just more and more when you get a wee bit older, and I think when I started playing as well, I was playing and I was probably earning more than some probably 18 or whatever, 17, 18 year olds, and I think that's where I realised it was getting a wee bit out of control and stuff like that. And I've probably started just putting silly bets on, but for me it was, if I couldn't ever like lose like a pound, you know what I mean, as in I'd play until, if I lost a pound I'd play until I'd won it back, you might never win that back, you know what I mean, so that was kind of the thing I always had in my head that wasn't right, but yeah.
So how at its worst point, how bad was it?
Well, I think a lot of the times when I think it might have been, even when I was at Thistle at the end of the Gary Cordwell and the start of Queens, I think it was probably, you'd end up going to the casino most nights with some of my mates and you'd stay until 4 or 5 in the morning and you'd get training the next day. How can that be? How can you go and train properly and that'd be right that I'm doing that? But at the time, I was thinking that was alright, it's perfectly fine, but it's not. I was there be there 2 or 3 times a week, which is wrong, and I have training next day, but that takes over your life, do you know what I mean? Going there, I was thinking as soon as I get out of training, it was when will I go there, you know what I mean?
Did you think that was normal? Did you hate anybody that kind of took you aside and said, look, you need to sort yourself out, or did you just think, I've got plenty of money, I'm a Premier League footballer, I can do what I like, kind of thing?
Probably, to a certain extent, you think you can probably do what you like, and oh, you can spend this and that, but it all catches up with you, and that's probably what I realised. And I had a lot of my mates probably seen it in me as well, the change in me as a person probably when I got a wee bit older, probably been more kind of not as open about what I'm doing, lying to people about where I am, because that's what you do, you end up lying to people about where you are and stuff like that. And so I had quite a lot of people saying to me, like, you need to change, you need to stop that, you can't be doing that, which I knew they were right, but the thing is, you think in your own head that you are the person that's right all the time, and that what you're doing is okay, really, is what it comes down to. So, yeah, no, I had a lot of people saying to me, you need to fix it, but my big thing, I used to always say to them, oh, I'm going, but I never ever would. It would be the same kind of thing. Or maybe stop for 2 days, 3 days, or a week and go off. I'm off, I'm not doing it again. And then you fall back and end up doing it again. So, no, that was the kind of thing.
At what point did you realise that you had a problem?
I think probably before the start of lockdown, maybe even before that. I think I got a bit better as in, I think I stopped. I stopped a wee bit, and then I think I never actually stopped properly, but I stopped to on my extent of stopping. Then I think it was maybe, I don't know when it was, maybe February, March. I think it was gotten quite bad, really bad. I think my mum and dad knew a change in me because I was always coming in and I was going disappearing at kind of random times at night and different times, and they knew something was up. I think your mum can tell straight away with you as well. So I think she knew there was something up with me, and I think I just went and was just honest with them and just said, I lost this, I lost that, and that was it. And I said to my mum and dad that I would change and I wouldn't do it ever again. And I think that's me about 3-4 months. I've not really touched it. I'm not even at this day, I don't think about it now, and that's a good thing, as in, probably because I've been so kind of focused, tunnel vision on kind of going out, getting fit, running and that now, which is, it's like, I did that every day, and it's mentally I feel so much better, because probably instead of going out and running or something, I'd be at the casino mucking about, you know what I mean?
Was that there times at the casino, or was it like online betting as well that you were doing, or was that a mixture of both?
It was a mixture of both as well. Sometimes I'd sit in the house and play, sit in the house and stupid nights and play, so it was a bit of both. It was probably a lot was online as well. It's probably quite easy to go online and play as well.
Do you think it's too easy to do it?
I think it's too easy. I think for people like that, it's too easy to go and put thousands of pounds or whatever, X amount of pounds in quickly. You could do it in probably a minute. You could waste whatever. Do you know what I mean? There's some people that probably have X amount and put in probably that much and they can lose it in a minute. And that's probably why it's so bad. And it's probably too easy to get accounts as well. You can get accounts in anyone's name, really. So that's what I think. I think it is far too easy, but they're never going to stop because it's their business and that's how they make money. And it's probably people that used to be like me that would they make their money off, which is never see a poor bookie really.
No, right. Was the hardest part admitting it to yourself or admitting it to your parents?
Probably admitting it to my mum and dad, but I knew the impact it had on them really, because I knew they seen it in me as well. But I think probably the hardest part was admitting it to probably most people, probably family as well. I think they probably knew wee bits and bobs, but they'd never know the true extent. Just like, probably nobody really knows the true extent how bad it was, but that is what it is. It's in the past now, which is kind of the good thing for me. I've kind of learned through it, and it's not something I would think about doing again now at this, but I still need to think about it. I still think every day, get to your 12 o'clock every day and no put a bet on, it's another day, you know what I mean?
How did you feel after announcing your parents that you had a problem? Is that a weight off your shoulders?
I feel relieved. I think that's just like a bit you do when you speak to people, it's kind of like a problem kind of passed on a wee bit, as in they're helping me deal with it, and that's kind of a relief off my shoulders. Probably that's probably been something I've weighed on my shoulders for about a year and a half, 2 years, you know what I mean? I'm hiding it and constantly lying to people that you care about is probably the worst thing as well, when you're lying straight to people's faces, which is good, which is bad, sorry. And now it's good that I don't need to do that. I don't need to hide where I am. I'm just honest where what I'm up to all the time. Sometimes if I'm out, I'll need to be honest and just say I'm at a pub. My mum, dad might not be happy if I'm there late or not, but that's a good thing now. They trust me a wee bit more now, and that's a big thing as well. I think even none of my mates would really speak to me about it now, you know, which is good, so.
Did you mention it to Jim or anybody at Peterhead as well? How did they take it?
I think they, I know they were manager and assistant on the boys, even though the boys were brilliant. They were Texman, like Dale, Gaz, Cookie, who Cookie lives up my bit as well. I think me and Cookie end up out running quite a few days and just chatting about it and stuff like that. And he's always been, I've known Cookie for ages as well, and he's always given me advice on it as well and how to help and stuff if you ever have ever need him. So even the manager, he phoned me straight away, Davey. So yeah, they were brilliant, and Hoggy's been brilliant as well. Every day he sends me some kind of run, and I'll speak to him, or even every week I'll give him a phone and ask him about the running and what I have to do, and he'll always ask how I am and how is the gambling going and stuff like that, which just doesn't need to do that, but it just shows the kind of people up there, to be honest with you, and that's why I kind of want to stay. That's what I said, that's exactly kind of the reason I want to stay, when you're kind of it's a club with people like that, you know what I mean? That's makes a big difference for me as well.
Everybody's listening to this is kind of going through any similar kind of issues. What would your advice be?
It's hard to talk to people, but I know a million people will say it. It's probably the easiest. It's the hardest, but it's simply the easiest thing to do when you do it, and you'll feel so much better. But it's just getting it out and speaking to the right people, as in your family. Everyone cares about you, and especially your family. So, yeah, just speaking. Let somebody know.
And you've proven it by going, so you said, 4 months we've been a bet on.
Aye, 4 months, 3 months, maybe 4 months, I think. I need to check the day. I've got a thing on my phone that tells you your days anyway, so that's a while anyway, and it's not that. It's not even a thought in my daily head anymore. My thoughts just try to get fit as I can to get back.
Well, let's hope so, and well done on that, getting past that. So, on to the next season then, new contract. How pleased were you to get that sorted?
Yeah, it was good. It was brilliant for me as well, and it kind of showed the confidence. I think the manager and the boys, he's probably got to go off a wee bit of what he's seen in me as well in the short space of time. It could have been easy to go, he's not played much in that, but I think they obviously see something in me which kind of builds my confidence as well to offer me a new deal. I don't think the conversation was long. I just said I wanted to stay anyway, so that was a big thing. It wasn't even a long, I don't even think it was 2 minutes probably, but that was always my plan to stay up there, and because obviously, as I was saying, the people up there and the manager, they all have confidence in me, it seems, and that makes a bit difference for me as a player for probably what I've been at the last 2 years, where I've had maybe managers that don't speak to me at all, or you're not involved at all, you're miles away from it, whereas the manager here and assistant, they always speak to you, always give you that wee bit of how you can do better, or how you can, even when you're not involved. So yeah, that's kind of the good thing.
That's what we get a lot from some of the other guys that we've spoken to over the last few months, is that Jim and his team there, they're very good at speaking to each individual player and not just sort of speaking to them as a team. So he's very good at management.
Yeah, I think he's, as I said, he's obviously, he probably makes me feel like he believes in me as a player. Well, he does, and that's a big thing for me as a player. I think every player would get confidence for that, and it's probably, a lot of managers probably maybe don't do that, and it's probably, it's something that's probably so big as well, because I think, imagine there's a lot of players exact same as me, and the confidence I get for it will make me go out of the pitch and kind of express myself when I'm back, as in, you do believe in yourself when it's a manager that speaks to you all the time, the assistant speaks to you, you always feel involved, even if you're not, and that's big really, I think.
I guess it would have been easy for him just to say, well, his contract's up, he's only played 3 games, he's been injured, let's just get rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I said that, I was like, it could have been easy, but I think I know even for training and for stuff like that, that he does kind of have confidence in me to get fit, properly fit, and I think he's probably seen as well, I think Hoggy would maybe as well, if you're speaking to him as well, he's probably seen that I have been working hard and I've not just been sitting almost doing nothing really, and I've been working as hard as I possibly can to get fit, and that's exactly what the lockdown has been good for me, as in just working, running every day, doing a wee bit. So no, that's where the lockdown bit has been good, and I think that's where he's kind of saw that I'm trying my hardest to actually be as fit as I can to get back.
Do you think that'll help you for next season? You'll be able to relax when the season starts, because the gaffer's seen how well, obviously you've only played 3 games, but he's got confidence in you.
Yeah, I think so. I think that probably, it's a help as well, that he's not, as soon as you get offered a contract, you do grow a wee bit of confidence for that as well, that fact that you do, and think that even through training and that, I think they do have a bit of confidence in me, and that makes me believe in myself. And especially when people praise you as well, it kind of helps. But he's that way as well. He'd tell me when I'm not good enough, which is a good thing too. I'd rather that than just be, you don't play ever again and nobody speaks to you, than him telling me I wasn't good enough and I need to do that. And that's probably the good thing with him as well. So, yeah, no, that's good.
Do you feel that you need to kind of hit the ground running? Because although you've played three times or you've made three appearances, you're almost like a new signing as such, because we didn't really see much of you. So do you feel the pressure in just getting it off to a good start?
Yeah, I think that's probably why I've been so keen to work as hard as I can, do as much running as I can, so that I do hit the ground running. That's kind of, that is probably like I'm a new signing, because three games isn't much really, I'm going to full scale it, and that's probably like not many people have seen me before, and that's why I do want to come and try kind of show people what I'm actually about, and instead of being half fat and being probably slower, not being as quick and sharp than what I was used to before. So no, yeah, you want to hit the ground running. It's just like anywhere you play, you want to start well, and I think every one of the boys want to hit the ground running this season.
What's the expectations? Is the team got an expectation yet? And what's your own personal expectations for the season?
Mine's just do as well as possible, win as many games as possible, and try to do well in this league. I think we'll have a good team. We had a good team last season. I'm pretty sure we'll have the exact same this season. So it's probably just to win as many games as possible and do well. You go into every game believing you can win. So now you just need to take it a game at a time, I think, and try to do as well as possible.
Is getting a goal, getting your first goal up there?
It's embarrassing, isn't it? I get slaughtered for that all the time, you know that? Shocking. I need a goal. I will score. I'm telling you, I will score. Right? But I need a goal. But I just need to get fit enough to be in the box, so that's what I've been aiming for, box-to-box runs.
That's good, what I say. Even if it just bounces off your arse, you're quite happy to take it.
I'd take it. A boy actually doing that Benfica Cup, a boy took a goal off me then. I went to tap it and he took it off me. So that was the closest I've been, but I need a goal. I need something. I've been box to box now, so hopefully I can get a few goals.
So what kind of, if you were going to describe yourself then, what kind of player are you, and what should we expect?
Well, we're just an all-round kind of midfielder. Can go box to box. Can do, for myself, I can do probably, I like playing the three positions in midfield, or 6, 8 and 10, but I can probably play anywhere across the midfield, and that's it, and probably box to box. And for me, it's got to be trying to get more goals and trying to get more assists and making a difference in both ends.
And is Jim giving you an indication of, you know, what kind of position you're going to be playing in, or how many games you're going to be playing? Is you going to be a regular?
No, I think I'll just start to get back and probably see how fit and get as fit as I can and try and press in pre-season and go for there. Hope I can do well in pre-season, then that will lead to leagues and then carry it on for there. Because we've got a lot of good players in our team, a lot of good midfielders too.
It's going to be a tough league, but yeah, you're looking forward to getting back to playing at Fir Hill again?
Yeah, I've looked forward to him. I'm out running with one of my mates, Stuart Banning, and he plays Thistle, so he bans me up all the time, saying that he's going to smash me if I come here, so I'm looking forward to going back there, see a few familiar old faces, but I'd love to go and win there as well and enjoy it.
And other places as well, Falkirk and that kind of place, he's looking forward to playing against them?
It's a really, really good league, isn't it, this season as well. There's a lot of big teams in, which is exactly what we want, because we've got good players as well that can exactly do well and compete against teams like that. So I Falkirk as well, you look forward to going. I just look forward to hopefully playing as many games as possible. So that's probably the biggest thing for me, is playing as many games and getting used to you playing every week again.
Just itching to get back again.
It's exactly that, itching to get back, I think. Can't wait to get going again, to be honest. I'm starting to actually seem like I enjoy running. Nobody enjoys running, especially not me, but I think I enjoy it more than I used to. So that makes a difference for me, I think.
It's a sign.
As I say, it's a massive sign, I think. But, yeah.
Right, we're going to end with some quick-fire questions, if you don't mind. First one is, then, who was your boyhood hero when you was growing up?
Probably Terry Henry. Got to be. I was watching his actually 100 Premier League goals a day, so him. I always used to watch him, and I was an Arsenal fan when I was younger as well, so I always used to watch his goal, and I always remember him being unbelievable. So him, I know I'm not a striker, I'm not really that quick, but
But if you're going to model your game on anybody, Thierry Henry's probably the guy.
I probably know the guy that I model my game on, but somebody.
What game would you like to see? Is there any derbies across Europe that you'd most like to go and attend and watch?
No, I've been in Old Firm. I would rather go to some of the ones in like Argentina. That look unbelievable. Boca Juniors one in there. They look incredible.
So the atmosphere in them is fiery, shall we say.
I wouldn't mind going to one of them, so they look decent.
But that would be Peter Reid versus Forfar on a Tuesday night to.
Well, I'd be alright by the way, don't mind that.
Who's the best player you've played with?
Played the worst. Probably I'd probably say Banzo, my mate Bannigan at Thistle, he was brilliant and then, but I need to say that. And then boy Adam Barton as well, who was at Thistle big centre half, I don't know if any of you know. Mm-hmm. He was brilliant, man, but I don't know, I think he's at like Wrexham now, but what a player he was. He was like just sitting defence, but he used to just dribble it to the back and act to the pass out boys. So no, he was a really good player, but I don't know, I think he's at Wrexham or something, but I thought he was going to go on to be excellent. Big Liam Lindsay as well, I think he was big centre half, but he was also good.
Who's the toughest opponent you've faced?
Probably, as much as it hurts me to say, Scott Brown. Oh, no, Armstrong as well. Armstrong was brilliant. He was just full of running, technically brilliant. And Brown's just all over you all the time. Give you abuse as well. So, probably one of them two in Celtic, a tough team, obviously. So,
Is Brown in your ear all the time as well? Because you kind of get that impression.
I think he was giving me a bit, quite a lot of the game, but I think we all won 1-0 and I stupidly said something to him. And he ended up winning like 2-1, so he was just laughing at me. So it was rubbish, man. Now, you learn for that as well. Don't say something when you're 1-0 up against Celtic.
Wait until the game's finished first. What's your most memorable game you played in?
Probably the one each draw at Celtic. Probably definitely that one, I think. I would say that one for me personally. I think all my mates and that were there, so all my family, so that was good.
What is your favourite TV show to watch?
Money Heist, probably. Incredible. You seen that?
Yeah.
Good. That's for me.
Collins, I see that. I've got a wife and two kids. I get to watch that kind of stuff.
I watch it if you get it a minute. Brilliant, man.
If you could pick your ideal midfield three from players past and present, who would it be?
What, ever in the world?
Yes.
Let me think. You're probably putting Gerard, Zidane, and I'm going to miss somebody big here. Pirlo, no, Iniesta. I'm putting Iniesta. That's right, yeah, that's alright. That's great.
I'm even thinking one midfield trio and there's so many players that you could pick.
I know, I was thinking I probably missed somebody massive there, so I think
that's the last one I've got for you, Andy. The last one I've got for you, Andy, is how do you relax after football?
Yeah.
Night, how's the best way for you to relax?
Play the PS4 or something, play Call of Duty with a couple of my pals or something. Chill it. Usually that's what I do when I'm home for football. Well, if it's Peterhead sometimes, they're in their bed by the time I get home, so I need to play myself, man.
And the last question, do you have a karaoke song?
Yeah.
I suspect you do if you're thinking about it.
A wagon wheel. That just gives me flashbacks. You like that song? You heard that?
Aye, I think so.
Yeah. Well, that's a classic. I could sing that, maybe.
Well, as luck would have it, we've actually got that track ready for. No, I'm joking.
I would not be singing, I'd be after still.
connection away.
Connection goes
on. Anyway, right, thanks very much, Andy, for coming on. It was really good, and thanks for being so open and honest with your issues as well.
Nah, you're all right. That's
okay. Thanks very much.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers.
That was Andy McCarthy there, who joined us earlier. A big thank you to Andy for taking the time to join us and for being so open and honest. Our thanks also go to our sponsor, Marcos Chipper, and of course to you guys for listening. That's it for this week. We'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.